This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Omar Akuzuri, Kivan Shahadova, Kain, since this is in fact so, we discussed how the Rabbonin work with their Masoris, with their traditions of Torah Shebal Peh. And Imoidel Rabboni Shemekabetz Elishne Aponim, I must admit that the rabbinical interpretation includes both aspects, the Masoris and the tradition, as well as faithfulness to the meaning of the Psukim. Beyisroinu El Akaroim Beniru Venista. And they'll therefore have an advantage over the Karaites, both in clear and unclear areas. And there comes with a certain feeling of being settled and good-hearted about the Torah. Because we feel secure in the fact that our knowledge is acquired from the Chachomim who have been authenticated, whose Chochmah is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ki hakaroi v'im tagia yishtadlusoi ma shetagia lo yetiv liboi. For a Karaite, even if he does manage to stretch himself to the point where he does all this mayetiv loy, what does it really achieve? Where does it get? His heart is not satisfied. Because he himself knows at the end of the day that all his effort is, after all, using his own logic and his sense of connections and so on. And it's therefore very subjective. And it is not possible for the Karaite to be fully secure that the actions which he is following are in fact the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he knows that there might be other nations among whom there are people who try and put in even more effort than he does. And if it's all a matter of effort, a function of effort, then who says that his truth is the truth, is the correct truth? All that I can accept, that the Rabbonin have an enormous advantage over the Karaites. There are a few particular areas that I need to ask. One is in the area of Eruv. Who kalis b'mitzvah Shabbos, that is taking the mitzvah of Shabbos too lightly. How with such a simple little trick do we allow people to permit that which the Ribbono Shel Olam has prohibited? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, don't carry. And we say, well, if you put up an Eruv, a piece of string on a couple of poles around, and this and that, and hocus pocus, and now you can carry. What does it all mean? And the Kuzari now gives a very important principle in these types of halachas. Omar Hechove, Chas v'sholem shiyaskimu hamoin chasidim v'chachomim amashiyat yekeshe mikishri atiru. Chas v'sholem, that the majority of chachomim would ever agree to release a knot tied by the Torah. Achem b'zarzim v'imrim asusiyag latiru. On the contrary, they are the ones who urge us to go further than the Torah's requirements, to make a siag, to make fences beyond which we don't tread. Umina tsiyogu shesiyugu, and among the fences which they made was sheosru ha'hitzov ha'achnosu mirishus hayochid mirishus harabim u'behefech, was that they prohibited the carrying from rishus hayochid to rishus harabim and vice versa. Of course, that's not a derabonin. What the Kuzri means is not a rishus harabim proper. He's talking about a karmelis, our kind of rishus harabim. So midah oraisa, as far as the Torah is concerned, we could carry in these streets because it's not a proper rishus harabim. But the chachomim said no. That's a siag. Mashaloi osra the Torah, the Torah didn't prohibit this. Ve'acharkach gilgulu b'siagah hi gilgul laharvocha. But then they said, but we are ruining something. We're ruining Shabbos. So on the one hand, we are benefiting the halacha. The people will not come to carry in a rishus harabim proper. So the halacha benefits, but the spirit of Shabbos suffers. Because now people can't wheel their babies, and they can't carry food from house to house. So the whole social fabric of the community might be damaged. Afterwards, they evolved from the siag a further evolution to release the pressure. So the people should not find the following of Torah becoming severe and difficult. People should have revach. This is not a very popular concept nowadays. Nowadays, being as our Yiddishkeit is predominantly Catholic influenced, we find that any suggestion that we should be relaxed, there should be a bit of arvocha, is in fact contrary to our religious sensibilities. But in the time of the Kuzri, that wasn't so. There was a desire to adarabba, to within the framework of halacha, to make Yiddishkeit comfortable, to spread out a little bit, to have some space, to have some movement. So what do people do to so that people should have space while they're using the halachas of Shabbos, but they should reach that revach with rishus. So to play around with the halachas of the Torah midoraisa, that of course we can't do. Adarav, the chachomim come and they tighten up the halachas of the Torah, but in tightening up the halachas of the Torah, they sometimes tread on what they consider to be a normal kind of existence, which they don't want to limit. So then they create a loophole. So they build into their takona that you're not allowed to carry from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid or vice versa, this type of Rishus HaRabim, a karmelis, unless there is this kind of thing called the Eruv. Not because that fools anybody into thinking it's private property. That's not what it is. So you take a city the size of London or New York and you put an Eruv around it, now it's private property, hocus pocus. That's not what it means. It's just that when the Chachomim instituted this halacha, they instituted it in such a way that you're not allowed to carry from a karmelis to a Rishus HaYochid or vice versa, unless you have made a heker, unless you've made some form of reminder of yourself, so that you're aware of what the halachas are. Kedei sheyeh hakoro bein hamutar legamri ubein haosur ubein hasiag. So as to clarify what is totally mutar, what is a derabbanan, and what is a doraisa. So then you'll have a situation where to carry in your own house and your own property, you don't need any technique, so you don't need any of these procedures. So that clarifies in your mind that in your own house it's absolutely mutter. A Rishus HaRabim proper, if we had a proper Rishus HaRabim, there it wouldn't help to have an Eruv. So that clarifies in your mind that a Rishus HaRabim is also midoraisa. But for the Karmelis, provided you put up an Eruv, you can carry, because then Chachomim have achieved what they wanted to achieve, awareness. So before you go into a Karmelis, you'll stop to check, is there an Eruv or not? That is already a siag. That will make sure that you'll never come chas v'sholem to carry in a Rishus HaRabim Doraisa. They don't need you not to carry in a karmelis. All they need you to do is to think before you carry in a karmelis. What do you have to think? Have we fulfilled the requirements of an Eruv? And so the Chachomim designed the technique of an Eruv as a heker to stop you before you carry into the karmelis. When you look at the concept of Eruv with this idea, then, when an Eruv is put up, what is a more frum thing to do? To use it or not to use it? Now the frum thing comes to use it. It's there to be used. The whole halacha, the way the Kuzri has put it, the whole halacha of not carrying in a karmelis is just to create an Eruv. But what the Chachomim really want is that there should be an Eruv and there should be Arvochel, that people can carry and they can go from place to place and take their children with them. That's what the Chachomim want on Shabbos. So what do we Catholics do when somebody puts up an Eruv? The first thing we do is we passel it, and we make somebody else has to put up another Eruv. And when you've got three Eruvs up, then when you're really frum, you still don't use it. And if you're only a little bit frum, then you don't use it, but you let your wife and children use it. And so it goes. That wasn't the intention. The intention of the takon, according to the Kuzri, possibly not everybody agrees with this, but according to the Kuzri, the whole takona was in order that there should be a consciousness and an awareness. That's the purpose of the Eruv. But the end, the purpose of this gezeira was to construct an Eruv. The purpose was not that you should sit at home and not go anywhere. That's, you see, an attitude to an halacha, when one understands the halacha and an approach to that halacha properly, how one's meant to function within the halacha. A similar concept is with selling chometz on Pesach. That doesn't get you around any the doraisas so easily. What that really gets you around is the takon of the chachomim. But after Pesach, the knas that chometz that has existed during Pesach, you can't use even after Pesach either. That's the real purpose of the takon of selling. So they built it in that way, and they built it in and said that if you sell it to a goy, that this only applies to chometz, obviously, but you've got proper in your possession, you're over by your own by yimotze. But the idea of selling it was in order to create harvocha, that a person can have chometz, can operate in the world, and doesn't have to get rid of it. A man who's got a factory that produces cases of whiskey, what's he going to do with mice? So the Chachomim build into the whole functioning of Torah systems, while at the same time increasing consciousness and awareness and building siyagim, at the same time they're terribly careful to make sure that life doesn't lose its richness, that we don't design for ourselves a life which is so structured and so tight and so difficult to operate in that it loses its sense of richness and its sense of variety and its sense of relaxedness. That we mustn't do. There has to be a normality within our Yiddishkeit as well.